different types of kedusha. There's guf kedusha, like a sefer Torah,
yes,
fillin, and mezuzah, stam.
Yes.
As the Kutzker or others say, stamayid. Stamayid, stam means like you're a regular person, but the Kutzker says, no, stam. Every yid is a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. That's what stamayid means.
Got it.
But either way, so guf hakedusha, that's the highest level, or
yes.
Let me just go back and step on some on it. Well, it's not actually the highest level, but I'll come back to what the highest level is later. But for this purpose right now, we'll consider it the highest level is guf hakedusha.
Yeah.
And then there's a secondary level, the things that facilitate the use of the tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah.
Yes.
That's called tashmishe kedusha. And then there's a third level, either and similar and different. There's a tashmish to tashmish. That's a step removed. So for instance, let's assume it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Let's say everyone agrees the cloth in the tefillin inside the box is kadosh, and everybody agrees, minimally speaking, the boxes are tashmishe kedusha. So if you assume that, so then the talis bag will be...
Excuse me,
what?
Sorry, it's got an available name, 9725. Okay, sorry, the phone rang.
Right, so in other words, the tefillin will assume it's kedusha, the tefillin zekel would be tashmishe kedusha, because let's assume, or I should say, the tefillin box,
yes,
is tashmishe kedusha, and
yes,
then one would argue the tefillin bag is only a tashmish to tashmish. Again, that's a point, it's a machlokas. It depends if you assume the name of God, Shin Shakai, spelled out on the straps, is that guf kedusha? And then that would make, then everything would be, if you assume like Rashi, that the tefillin itself, the boxes itself with the straps are also guf hakedusha, that would make the tefillin's echo only a tashmish kedusha. So it depends on what the metzias is, but the principle is, if guf hakedusha is being used by something, that turns into a tashmish kedusha. I'm not getting into whether literally touching or not touching, that will get it. We could define what's tashmish mean. But whatever tashmish means, if it's being used for that purpose, and then if something just touches tashmishe kedusha, that has the status of tashmish to tashmish, but doesn't have the kedusha and doesn't have to be buried. So a guf hakedusha that becomes no good has to be buried. A sefer Torah that becomes pasul, or a tefillin cloth or mezuzah cloth that become no good, it must be buried. There's no debate on that, because it goes from it's guf hakedusha, which becomes no good. It's not tashmishe kedusha. That's something else. It's guf hakedusha, and that's the shaila anyway. Whether a sefer Torah that becomes pasul, does it retain its kedusha or not? That depends on the machlokas of whatever happened to the shibrei luchos. What happened to the broken luchos? So it's two opinions. One opinion is they were housed together with the real luchos, the full luchos. And the other opinion is they had a separate aron. What's the machlokas? The issue is, when they became broken, if you assume that the broken luchos were put together with the regular luchos, that means the broken luchos had the same kedusha as the luchos themselves, and then they were housed together. But if you assume once they were broken, they didn't have the same level of kedusha, then you have to put them, like everyone agrees, you can't put a chumash inside the Aron Kodesh, because the Sefer Torah is kedusha, the chumash doesn't have the same, in other words, doesn't have necessarily the same status, whatever, getting into printed and all that. So either way, those are the different levels. So guf hakedusha has to be buried, tashmishe kedusha has to be buried, like, i.e., a mantle of a Sefer Torah, you know, the Sefer Torah cover, depending either the tefillin box or the tefillin bag, depending on how you learn pshat. The mezuzah, whether you learn it's a saran wrap or it's also the cover, depending on what pshat is, but we could get into the details, but that's the principle. So there's gufa kedusha, there's tashmishe kedusha, and there's tashmish to tashmish. That's one thing. And then there's something else, which is, in terms of this halacha, it's called tashmishe mitzvah. It's a different concept, but it has the same. What I mean is, by gufa kedusha and tashmishe kedusha must be buried. Tashmish to tashmish could be nizrakan, could be thrown in the garbage with proper kavod. So something which is, so that's similar to the halacha of tashmishe mitzvah. So that's, so let's say the dalud minim over sukkis, it's, even though it's tashmishe mitzvah, but it has a certain level of kedusha because it's being used for a mitzvah. Tashmishe mitzvah b'shas mitzmasan also has a level of kedusha, perhaps also like the sukkah also, that the b'shas, in other words, b'shas sukkah, so the Gemara has a lashon of they compare a sukkah to a karban, so there's a level of a kedusha. But once sukkah is over, so tashmishe mitzvah no longer has kedusha, and I could take the dalad minim in theory, wrap them up properly and throw them in the garbage. You know, that's a discussion whether you should do. Maybe you could find other meaning. Maybe you could find the estrog and use it for bistamim, use it for another mitzvah. You want to save your dalad minim for biar chametz. You know, it gets into hidurim, but meyikar hadin, something which is a tashmishe mitzvah, achar mitzvasan nizrakim. So in that sense, estrog after sukkis is over has the status of a tashmish to tashmish in sense that you could, it's in a sense that it's nizrakim. You throw it out. It's not nigvarim. Yeah. So what was your question? Or you just wanted clarity? Or
it's something that is this tashmish the mitzvah, I think, because something certainly nagaya to me. The tzitzis. When I have a talis katan and it's getting grungy and I want to throw it out, can I throw it out?
Yeah, so that's a good kasha. Right, so that's a good kasha. So it seems to be, it should be clear cut. And I think this is the way we paskin. Since tzitzis are a mitzvah, so clearly the beged of the tzitzis and the string are tashmishe mitzvah, I mean, the part of the mitzvah. So it should be tashmishe mitzvah achar mitzvah. And if you have a pair of fringes lying on the table and you never connected them and they don't have any status, it's only because it's part of the, it's a discussion we paskin when they're on. Some say even if it's in the drawer, but we assume you get the mitzvah of tzitzis not when your tzitzis are folded up in your drawer, it's when they're on you. But so either way, the point being is, strictly speaking, it should be clear cut that you should be able, when the tzitzis are no longer good, they become pasul, you should be able to throw them in the garbage. That should be the, even though, that being said, to me, I've seen some people bring down chumras, hidurim, that saying the tzitzis part you should take off and put into the shemus. Even I'm not exactly sure why. If I don't know why that, but yikar adin, it's not tashmishe kedusha, and it's not tashmishe kedusha unless they assume it is. I don't know why it would be, or it's not tash. You know, so it's tashmishe mitzvah laachar mitzvaso. That gets into that. So, you know, like that, the shaila comes up that by near Chanukah. That's our next holiday. We could discuss it. What do you do with the leftover oil? So obviously the oil in the jar you never use, so there's nothing to talk about. Let's say the oil that you put into the Ner Chanukah only 45 minutes went up and not the other. So that's a separate discussion. It says Ner Chanukah, Kodesh Hain, whatever, however we want. Again, probably there also, there's a discussion on that, depending how you learn pshat. So by tzitzis, some people have a chumra I've seen brought down. I've seen different svarim bring down, you should bury your tzitzis. Even though it seems to me like it's tashmishe mitzvah, and you could fold them up and throw them out, especially bizman hazeh, we're looking, we don't have enough shemos, and people are putting too many things into shemos. So, so I agree. So to me, obviously, all things being equal, if there's plenty of shemos room and some bring down a chumrah, then I'm not against it. But I'm just saying is I'm not against the practice. I just, to me, it just sounds, it's not meikar adin, because it's tashmishe mitzvah. So the general should be nizrakim. They maybe there's some kedusha, sitzis has some kedusha, whatever the chumrah is. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, what I am sure is I've seen different svarim say you should bury them, not throw them out, which is just surprising to me. Yeah, what?
Okay, I accept that, but you see, just one thing. Typically, what happens is, you know, because these four corners and one of them, the thread's missing. It got broken. It's useless of thread. That's why I'm throwing it out. What about the other three fringes, which are still good? You see, do they have kedusha? You see what I'm saying?
What do you mean? You're talking about the beged or the sitzis?
I'm talking about the beged. I want to get throw out the beged because it. I mean, the one corner out of.
What do you mean the beged? The beged has four corners. Are you saying one corner is no good anymore? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the four fringes, and one of the fringes is bad. A thread got broken.
I know, you're talking about the thread or the beged?
The thread.
Okay, the thread, not the beged.
I never thought the beged was holy.
Yeah.
It just provides the corner.
Yeah, so it's a four-cornered garment. The sitzes, that's why some people say the sitzes throw out, not the beged. I mean, the sitzes you put into Sheamus.
Yes. Oh no! I see. I thought the beged had no kedusha altogether. It's just a tzitzis that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, kedusha in the colloquial sense, if it's part of the mitzvah, but it doesn't not kedusha like a sefer Torah. Obviously, you walk into a bathroom as the talis katan on, so it can't have. It's hard to say it has kedusha.
Oh, yes.
Unless you assume it's like double wrapped and covered, or whatever. Even though,
I
guess the shy would be the people walk. People wear the tzitzis on top of the garment with, you know, they walk into a bathroom with it and stuff. I assume they do, but I'm saying it's better. Unless it depends what you're assuming. But pashas is not, the problem, pashas is not a problem because when we wear a talis gadol during the week, so the halacha is you can't walk into a bathroom with the talis gadol. But you can with the talis katan. Like, what's the difference? A talis is a talis.
Yes.
So the yisod is in the poskim is a beged, which is miyuchad for tefillah, cannot be worn in the bathroom. Nothing to do with the sitzit. So bisman has. So back in the day, if you wore your talis all day, so there's no problem walking in. I.e., what we do with the talis katan. The reason why you can't go in with the talis gadol isn't because of the halach of the bathroom with the talis gadol. Pashas, the reason is because it's a beged hamayuchad. We just wear a talis when we davened. So therefore, gartel would be the same way. Assuming you wore a gartel and you only wear a gartel for davening, then you shouldn't go into a bathroom with unless someone maybe wears a gartel, unless you wear a gartel all day as a belt and has a dual function, so then it's not, if it has a dual function, it's not a beged hamiyuchad for tefillah anymore. So, in other words, the bottom line, any garment that one puts on for the sake of tefillah, so that's a local din, you shouldn't go into the bathroom with it. But it's not a din in sitzis, a raya talis katan that we walk in into the bathroom all the time with. And it doesn't seem, and no one debates that point. So the F, I'm saying, even if you wore it on top, it shouldn't make a difference. You should be able to.
So I think it's going to go up so much. The talus cut and the clothes out, ignoring, imagine all the four corners, all the four threads, all the four, what do you call them, all the four tzitzis have been taken off, whatever reason. And the talus cotton is absolutely no kedusha. I can use this,
You could use it as what?
I was going to say use it as a rag, but that's extreme.
No, that would be a bizayon ha-mitzvah.
Of course. No, but I mean, to take the talis cotton, I can show you, and it has four...
Right, well, I mean, let's put it this way. It's different today. Like, bizman ha-gemara, whenever they didn't have a special... The clothes were four-cornered garments, so really it was a beged, and then you added tzitzis. But here it's hard to... Here we dafka... We don't. It's not like if I didn't have sitzes on, no one's walking around with a four-cornered garment. Our sitzes without that. So therefore, could be a little today. We, the optics are anyway, and that we view the whole thing as a mitzvah garment because I'm not wearing what else is it? The shaila
comes up
is if you're wearing this four-cornered garment on Shabbos and the strings become pasul and there's no Erev, is that considered carrying or not?
Well, I'm still wearing it.
Well, that's the shaila. Do we say that it's considered... Of course you're wearing it, but you're not wearing the tzitzis. Maybe the tzitzis is a masai.
Oh.
The beged, you're clearly wearing. The question is, are the tzitzis buttled to the beged, or the tzitzis are considered So either way, that's a discussion. I'm saying is, but the whole point today is a little different because you're only wearing that beged because of the mitzvah of tzitzis, as opposed to, I didn't order on Amazon or whatever, a four-cornered garment, and it's four-cornered, okay, let me put tzitzis on it. Then you could argue it really has no value, because I only bought it for a garment, coincidental. Here, the whole reason the four-cornered garment is I'm only wearing it, I'm putting it on so I can do my mitzvah of tzitzis, so it's kind of like, even though it might only be a heksher mitzvah, it should definitely be nizrakin afterwards. But like anything used in the involvement of a mitzvah, should get rid of derek covered, not derek bizayon.
I got it. Derek covered.
Yeah. No, well, you should probably double wrap it, maybe, or put it in a spec. I think the tshuva is harashba that. If you're going to throw it out, you should, put it in a, don't throw it in together with the garbage. Like, you put a plastic bag in it, and then you put it in. You know, whether double-wrapped or single-wrapped, the point is, whatever Derek Coven means, I'll leave it to you. In other words...
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think I got it.
You got it?
Another time, I want to perhaps you'll discuss things that Kedusha meant. If you put G-D, is that really different from writing G-O-D? Things like that. If it's in English or in Hebrew, things like that.
I follow. But you remind...
I know that's a whole topic in itself.
I know. But it's good. But you remind me of something. Because Rabbi Dr. Lamb, he was Nifter this year?
Yes, and I'm enjoying a book by him.
Oh, what book?
Show it to you.
What do you mean? A new book or an old book? What do you mean?
It's a new book.
What do you mean new? How new? What do you mean new? Like in the past 6 months? That's not a new book, is it?
No, it's not a new book. It was first published. It's a new edition. But I'm reading through it. Very interesting. Originally published in, I'm sure you know better than I do, about 2000, was it?
53rd edition. Yeah, so he was in YU. He was the president when I was in YU most of the time.
Yes, right.
So he signed both of my smichas, Rabbi Lamb.
If you told me this book was really published in 1989, apparently it was the third edition, come out recently, the last year or so, with a new afterword by Rabbi Jonathan Sachs.
Right, okay, good. So therefore, what I was saying is Dr. Lamb passed away. So what they're doing this year is they're printing up his family, YU, they're printing up his stuff and on the Parsha. So they're sending me every week some of Dr. Lamb's old sermons, like in the 60s and the 70s.
Wow.
So on this point, so one of the things he spoke about this week was, I think, I forget the name of the topic was Godless Goodness, something like that. I forget, don't quote me. But you can quote me, but I don't know if it'll be accurate. But basically the point was, he said it's more than, this needs more than one sermon, but the topic was, could you be good without God? Could you be good without religion? He gets that question all the time. Why do I have to be observant? I'm a good person without it. So surely we find good people without religion, and we find religion. So he goes on. He gives the whole sermon about why. He gives different reasons. I'll see if I remember a couple of them by heart. where he speaks about why not. So one reason he gives is because it won't last. In other words, he claims that the only reason people are good now is because it's a residue from religious ethics. That it's true, even though Western society is more modern, but since the past, what, generations or decades, whatever, is they still have a residue from, you know, from religious goodness, from, you know, the Torah, whatever. That's why they're good. But in another, what?
It's still in it. It's a custom.
And therefore, and therefore, whatever, whether it's 5 years from now, 20 years from now, that's going to stop. Or he threw out another reason. He threw out is because it's totally inconsistent. In other words, he brought a raya from this week's parsha. This week's parsha, actually, well, it depends what I mean by this week's parsha. So we're in between Lech Lecha and Vayera. There's two stories. I mean, there are many stories with Avraham, but the famous story was with Avraham with Paro, and Avraham told Sarah, "Tell Paro, I'm your sister. I'm your brother. You're my sister, or else he's going to kill me." And he's either way, he's going to take Sarah. But if you tell him I'm your wife, I'm your husband, he's going to kill me. If I say you're my brother, he'll take you anyway, but at least I won't get killed. Self-preservation. And then we find...
No problem.
And then we said, of course, the question is, why is he going to Egypt? And I guess it was Pikuach Nefesh. It was a famine. But either way, and next week, meaning this coming week in Vayera, we find I think it's Melech... It's Melech Sodom. It's one of the kings. It might have been him, and the same thing happens again.
Story with
Yitzchak,
wasn't it?
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, still Abraham, sorry.
Yeah, I'm still with Avram, and he tells. I think it's Melech. So he finds out that Sarah was his wife. So he says, "I can't believe you, Avram. I understand when you told the Egyptian king you had to lie to him because they're like a third world country. They don't have ethics. They're not like modern like us. But us, we're a modern country. To take, you think we take someone's wife? Like you know, we think you someone else. Why didn't you tell me?" So he says, "Rak ein yiras Hashem b'makom hazeh. If there's no yiras Hashem, then you choshesh for Ritzicha. I can't trust you." In other words, what's the Yisod, the Malbim rites, and others, that basically the reason why you need a morality from God is that that's objective. Like, and that's objective, and it's never changing. That's the what's good. That doesn't depend on what society thinks is good. There's some innate religious ethics that's never changing. But when it comes to if it's based on me, well. Well, I like chocolate ice cream, you like vanilla. It's whatever, so for instance, so what's the example? So imagine, so what was it clearly during the time of Avraham, there were certain people that said, like, adultery I never would do, but murder, of course I'd murder, like, murder wasn't an issue, but adultery, what? And today you have the opposite. Like murder, are you kidding? But adultery, what's the big deal? In other words, and he wrote this in the 70s. Imagine if it looked at today. Adultery, you know, like, what's wrong with adultery? You know, especially if it's consensual. I think if it's not consensual, people won't like it. Not because it's adultery, because it's not consensual. But if both people want a wife swap, then no, it's what's wrong with it. That, you know, based on secular ethics. Like, as long as you're not harming anyone, so then there's no ben adam liatzmo. So the point being is, in Judaism, it doesn't make a difference. Adultery is always wrong. Murder is always wrong. But if you go by your own morality, we see. So it's totally inconsistent. He gave a couple of other reasons why ethics without religion doesn't work. It might work for a temporary time. And also, perhaps, even if it does work, doesn't mean you can't become better. If you're a good person without it, then he doesn't give this example. Let's say Michael Jordan. I'm using, he's one of the best basketball players ever. So clearly the name doesn't make a difference. He was very talented, clearly. But imagine if pure talent takes you so far. But if he was well coached also, then he's going to become even better. So you could be born with innate goodness, But if you have a system which makes you better, then you're even going to become better. So other reasons given. So, you know, that was his article and the point. So he always has some good one-liners, good bumper stickers. So one of them is he writes in his sermon, he writes, if you take the word good, you know how to spell good?
Yes, with two O's.
Yeah, and you take the name of God out of it, what are you left with? Good minus God equal what?
Oh.
Oh, zero. You go from hero to zero. Basically, goodness without God is a nothing. Because ultimately, not only you turn into good, you'll turn into Nazi Germany. And that's what happens. Rav Soloveitchik used to always say, he used to hear these tremendous German philosophers giving tremendous shiurim on Bet Adam L'Chaveiro. Tremendous. Like he was, and then 10 years later, these same professors were giving shiurim on the final solution, how we have to get rid of the Jewish. So basically, it doesn't, you know, whatever the whims of the times are, all you have to know is Rak Ein Yiras Hashem B'Makom Hazeh. If it's not based on God-based morality, I mean, it could be good, it could be 100 years, 200 years, but who knows when the turn's going to be. It's not something that you could rely on. And to quote the Kutzker, he quoted the Kutzker in his sermon, I'll give you in Yiddish and then the English. He said a Yid has to be gut, that's good. You know Yiddish or you don't know Yiddish? I don't know Yiddish either, but I just know some words. Gut means good. You got to be gut. You got to be from, meaning pious. Another thing Dr. Lamb said is also, he was quoting that when Plato was praising his Rebbe Socrates, he wrote, you know what he had to say about him? You know what? He's not a sexual degenerate like all the other philosophers. In other words, imagine saying about Rav Moshe Feinstein, imagine that, that'd be an embarrassment. You're praising a god. You know what? You're not a crook. You're not a murderer. So there's no ideal if you don't have a God-based morality. And also he said, you'll never come back to tshuva. Once you leave, why would I come back for? Why would I come back? And also another thing he said was, all those societal reasons, what do I care? So he says, I should be good because I want someone good to me. Okay, I don't care. So therefore I'm not going to do it. So the Kutzker said, you got to be good. You got to be good plus pious plus klug plus smart. That equal a Jew.
What's the third one?
Klug, smart. Use seichel. Use your brains, common sense. So you got to be good plus pious plus smart. Each one by itself is very dangerous. If you have one or two without all three, it's like a tripod missing one leg or two legs. It's going to be very wobbly and you'll end up on the ground. Huh?
Interesting.
And therefore, because it's very dangerous, and if I'm just smart, I'll become very crafty and come up with legalities how I could circumvent the whole system. If I'm just pious, oh wow, I look down and I don't have to treat these people. These lowlifes, they don't keep the Torah and mitzvahs. They're not like me. I don't have to be nice to them. And as well, good, what do you mean good? How do you define that's what they said about Yishmael. If it's too much chesed, if it's pure chesed with no balance, it leads to illicit relate. I love my sister. Oh, why shouldn't I sleep with her? In other words, Chazal say it leads to arayas. Chesed that without any balance leads to terrible things. So they have anything by itself. So he says you got to have all three. If you have one out of three or two, that could be very dangerous. You have to have all three to be a successful yid. You need all three, and that's what. So therefore, that was his yisod. Goodness without God is a zero. And as the Kutzke said, you got to be good. Plus pious, plus smart. It reminds me of two other things. The Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that, he used to say about someone, he didn't say this praise where he says, let's say this this person was doing extreme things, you know, taking on all these extreme chumras. And he said about this person, he said, this person was always firmer than me, but not kugger. He was,
yes.
In other words, to be firm without kug is a big negative, because you don't know what you're doing. You're taking on chumras. You're showing, as they used to say in Litta, a galach is from, a yid is erlich. A galach, a priest is from, he walks around with his costume, his uniform, everyone knows who he is. A yid is not what you wear, it's erlich. You don't show off your piety. Let people figure out your piety by the way you act. You don't go around telling everyone how great you are, how from you are. That's not the derech of a yid. So you need to be good, from, and not from in that sense, from meaning pious, and you got to have seichel, as Rav Nissen Alper, one of my Rebbeim, used to always say, that's the fifth Shulchan Aruch. We have the Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch, but if a person doesn't have the fifth Shulchan Aruch, it's very dangerous. You got to know how to apply the Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, if you don't have seichel, you'll be lost. If there's no critical thinking, and that's why we just said, we just had Shabbos at Sunday. So last night in our davening, we said, Atachan Antanu in the Shemona Esrei. So why are we doing Havdalah in the middle of the bracha of Chonein Hadas for? Like, why not put Havdalah somewhere else? Because why? Because Havdalah. Havdalah means to separate, to distinguish, to be nuanced. You have to have Deya. If you don't have any Das, you can't make Havdalah. How do I know the difference between Kodesh and Chol if I don't have any Das? And certainly, as Rav Soloveitchik used to always say, and it's much easier to know the difference between Chol and Kodesh, it's a much greater Madrega, Hamavdel ben Kodesh or Kodesh. That takes a lot more deciphering, a lot more nuance. Certain things are clear, like black and white, but when you got to choose good from good, That's a lot harder decision. And therefore, of course, it always comes back to seichel. If you don't have seichel, you're not going to go too far in life.
Yes. Rabbi, an example, I think, of, you know...
And by seichel, I don't mean the IQ. I mean common sense, yeah.
I understand. The difference to be through without klug. You get a tzaddik shote.
Exactly. You become a chassid shote.
Sorry, chassid shote. You won't save the world from drowning because you can't touch your body.
Absolutely, or whatever it might be.